I have a message that many of the students at Summit helped me to write. So it's a message we've been working on in one of our classes. And I want to share it with you today. Particularly, I want to help anyone in this congregation or who's online with us. If you're concerning yourself with whether or not God is calling you to go to Bible school, whether it's because you feel a call to full-time ministry or because you just want to get to know God's word better or you just want to find a time and a place where you can learn to hear God's voice and to seek his face, I invite you to consider Summit International School of Ministry. It is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place. And if you come up, don't forget to stop by and say hi. We still owe you some cookies and stuff. But we're having a great time up there. And I just want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts. We've been studying Acts and the letters. And we're just going to go through the first four chapters of Acts. We're not going to read all four chapters, obviously, but we're just going to do a bit of an outline of those four chapters. And I would like to do this with regard to the importance of the local assembly. The Bible says that we ought never to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And the Bible says that in the context of persecution. And as the writer to the Hebrews is writing to a congregation that is about to endure a level of persecution and a level of difficulty that up until that point they had not yet experienced. They experienced some persecution, but as the writer says, they've not yet and persecuted to the point of bloodshed. But they were about to move into a time of very significant difficulty. And so what the writer says above everything is when those things happen and when it becomes difficult to find godly community and when it becomes dangerous to engage in godly conversation and to stand up for the things of God. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, we have an example of people coming from a point of persecution and initially beginning to scatter, each one going his or her own way, but eventually coming back together to form a godly community, a family, and beginning to impact the world as a result. And this is, of course, the case of the crucifixion of Christ. And the Bible says, if you smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And that's exactly what happened. When Christ was crucified, the community of believers scattered in various directions. And even after the resurrection, they still went to their respective places. God had told them that they would be fishers of men, but they went back to the old way and back to fishing the way they had done before, not of men, but of fish. And the Lord basically came to them and began to bring them back together. Now, in the book of Acts, what we find is that Jesus meets with them on the Mount of Olives, and he begins to remind them of certain things. In essence, he's beginning to push them in a certain direction. And what we'll find is he's pushing them in the direction of community. It begins with faith. It begins with understanding a promise that comes from God And then it moves into family. So we start with faith, and then we move into the realm of family. So many Christians have faith in Christ. I know my testimony is that before I became a part of this community many years ago, I had faith in Christ because I was raised to believe in Christ, and I couldn't look into the sky, or I couldn't look at a blade of grass and think for a moment that there was no God. I couldn't believe that everything came forth from nothing. I knew somebody had to make it happen. So for me, there was never any question that there was God. For me, the question was, does God have a people? So I trusted God, I just didn't trust people. I had faith, but no family. And so as I began to read the Bible, I began to increase my faith in God, but I read the Bible in isolation. And the Bible, as you know, is not written to be read in isolation. When the book of Romans is written, for instance, is written to the Roman community. The book of Galatians to the Galatian community. The book of Corinthians to the Corinthian community. Not to that one guy over there that lives in Corinth, but to the whole family. And so what God was saying to me was, you can't live without the family of God. You need the local assembly. So in this particular case, we hear God coming to the disciples on the Mount of Olives, and he is reminding them, first and foremost, that there is a promise on their life. He tells them not to leave Jerusalem until they receive the promise of the Father. And he said, remember, I have reiterated that promise. In other words, the Father promised it, the Son has sealed it, and the Spirit is the promise. So he reminds them first and foremost that your faith is well placed. You do have promise on your life. God has spoken to you. There is a call on your life, no questions asked. But then he goes on to speak to them about the plan of God. So there is a promise on your life as an individual, but then the plan begins to unfold, and you begin to realize that there is a call to reach the world. God makes it very clear that you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. So immediately you begin to understand that even though there is a promise on your life, the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit, there is a responsibility that we have in this generation that no one could ever possibly do on their own. We have to move out. We have to make a difference. We have to touch the world. We have to impact society in ways that we could never do without the Spirit. So the promise is there, and we could never do without each other. And so we begin to realize that this promise that's on our life is facilitated one by another. I facilitate the promise of God in your life, and you facilitate the promise of God in my life. You stir up the Spirit in my life, and I stir up the Spirit in your life, and then we move forward and we begin to impact the world. That's the plan of God. On top of that, we're reminded that there is a Pentecostal outpouring. And so we hear that there's a plan that comes from God. We realize that this plan is well beyond us, even as an us. It's beyond the individual, and it's beyond the community, unless there is a particular outpouring from God. The Bible says, don't leave Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high. We're not even supposed to begin to move out until the Holy Spirit has filled us, until the Holy Spirit has empowered us. And if you notice, the Holy Spirit came upon each of them so that they were all together in one room. They were all together in one place, and the Holy Spirit came upon the community, but at the same time, flames of fire came upon each individual. So even though they were a community, they were a community of individuals, each person moving in their own gift, each person moving according to the several ability given to them by the Lord, and yet they still move as an army. They still move as a people. And they're in a position now, because they are individuals, to begin to speak to people of different persuasions, of different backgrounds, of different languages, of different cultures, each one impacting someone with whom they can supernaturally identify. So likewise, when we move as a body, when we move as a local assembly, when we begin to impact the world, each person flowing in his or her gift, we have a broader range of communication. We can reach more people when we have individuality and unity, when we are one, but at the same time, each one is respected for who he or she is. This is why Jesus said, whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He's not so much saying the more the merrier. If you get enough people together, then I'll finally hear you. What he's saying is when they're gathered together in my name. So it's not so much about the many, it's about the oneness. It's about the unity. It's about the trust. It's about the communion. It's about the community. It's about the family. So each one of us begins to move according to the Spirit in our lives. And then the prophecy is fulfilled. Everybody plays a part. Your old men, your young men, your men servants, your maid servants, your sons, your daughters, everybody has a part. Everybody has something to contribute. Everybody has something to offer. That's why it's such a joy to be a part of the body of Christ and such a joy to be a part of a vibrant local church community, because everybody has something to add to everybody. It's not that we all come to church so that we can receive from one or two people. We all come to church so that we can give to as many people as the Lord brings across our path. Every single one in this congregation has as much to offer as every other one. Every embrace, every handshake, every God bless you, every good morning, every person has something to give to the body of Christ. And you never know what a person is feeling like when you walk up to them and bless them in the name of the Lord. You never know how the enemy has lied to them and made them feel as though they don't belong or as though they're just another statistic. And you come to them and you bless them in Jesus' name. You take your time to shake their hand and to look them in their eye. And you will never know until that side of eternity how many people you have impacted, how many people you have touched, how many lives you have changed, how many people you have encouraged to keep on keeping on rather than to give up. And so when the Bible says that the prophecy of Joel is being fulfilled, basically what it's saying is there is a healthy, vibrant body of Christ where every person is contributing and nobody is under the impression that their contribution doesn't matter. Everybody matters. We hear it when we pray, right? Every voice counts. Well, it matters. Your voice matters whether you're praying or whether you're greeting someone or whether you're sharing a word from the Lord, whether you're sharing a scripture. Your voice matters. And again, the power of God is now beginning to be manifest. Whenever the disciples are going to pray, and all they're doing is going to pray. They didn't plan anything for what I could see. They were just going to be with God's people. They were just going to pray. And in that moment, they saw a need. They saw someone who was paralyzed, someone who was ostracized, someone who could barely get anybody's attention. And if they did get their attention, then they just happened to be that person's good deed for the day. But they stopped, Peter and John, and they looked this man in his eye, and they began to speak to him. And they said, "We might not have what you think you need. We have something much, much better." They said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up." And they stretched out their hand and they pulled the man up. And we have also been given the power of the Holy Spirit to reach out to a generation that is down and out, a generation that thinks they know what they need, but we know what they need. We know who they need. One thing we know for certain, they don't need another dose of religion. They don't need another dose of politics. Lord knows they don't need any more money, but they need Jesus. They need God working through the lives of his church. And you and I have a promise on our life, and that is that the Holy Spirit will walk with us. That he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And he's asking us to see if his word is faithful. He said, "Try me. Reach out to somebody. Talk to somebody. Try to help somebody and watch and see whether or not I come through. Stretch out your hand to somebody. Look somebody in the eye who everybody else averts their eyes from. Look that person in their eye and see whether or not God is going to come through. Because the God that we serve is faithful. Amen. The God that we serve will not ask us to build bricks without straw. He's not going to ask us to impact the world without his Spirit, without the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And so the power of God begins to manifest through them, and they're made aware that God is with them. And then I want you to consider the preaching of Christ. Because it's not enough that there was power being manifest through these men, through this community. But when people began to ask them, "What is it about you?" They said, "It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. You see, he's the essence of this family. He sits at the head of this table. He's at the head of the communion table. He's the one who makes our family a family. And everything that we do in his name. We do by his power. We do by his strength. We do according to his promise. We do according to his faithfulness." And that means that we don't have to muster up anything in ourselves. It means that we will not be caught up in the accolades of men, and as a result, we will no longer be worried about their frowns. We'll no longer be worried about their threats. We'll no longer be worried about whether or not they consider us a people who have anything to say. You see, because we honor Christ, we say what we say because God has given it to us. We do what we do because God is with us. And what they were saying was, what you see happening here is a result of the mercy and the compassion of God. You see, when we walk as a family, God will use us to work signs and wonders. God will use us to speak words of life and encouragement. Not everybody has every gift, But when we come together as a body, all of the gifts are represented. When we come together as a body, everything that we see in this Bible is represented by one of us or another of us. It's like this old joke that a person used to tell where they said, you know, they're talking to an individual and they said, between me and my brother, we know everything that there is to know on the face of the planet. So the guy asks him a difficult question and he thinks about it for 5 minutes and then he says, my brother knows that one. And so likewise, we can say the same thing. I don't have every gift, but I have my family. And I know that every gift is represented in this body, in any local assembly, because that's what we're called to. We're called to make a difference. So I don't have to know everything. My brother knows something. My sister knows something. I don't have to know everything. You don't have to know everything. But together, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. And so the imperative of family cannot be overestimated. Again, after that, there comes persecution. Because they won't stop preaching. They won't stop teaching. But when they go through persecution, they go through it together. When you and I go through good times, we go through those together. When we go through hard times, we go through those together. It's just like when we perform a wedding ceremony and we talk to a couple and we ask them, are they willing to stay together during good times and bad times, sickness and health, richer or poorer, that kind of a thing. So we as a family, we're a covenant family under the covenant mercy of God in Christ. So we stick together through good times, through bad times, through the ups and through the downs, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer. We take care of each other. We watch each other's back. We don't let the devil lie to us about one another. We stand up for each other when the devil tries to bring gossip and slander. We stand up for each other. And we say, I will not hear that about my brother. I will not hear that about my sister, because it's my covenant responsibility to cover them. And when we do that, brothers and sisters, we overcome persecution. And they did it by going to prayer together. And they began to call out to God together. They began to believe God together, just like we do here in this local assembly, crying out for each other's needs, asking God to give us boldness to keep doing what we're doing, irrespective of the pressure that comes as a result. We are moving into a time of significant trial, and we need to pray together. We need to believe together. We need to hope together. I love the way that they pray. They open up the scriptures, and they said, God, according to what I read in your book, this is nothing new. They quoted the scripture. It says, why do the heathen rage and the peoples imagine vain things? And then they just paralleled it to their day. And they said, Pilate and Herod are doing the same old thing that these people did, and these people did, and these people did, and they lost, and they lost, and they lost, and these people lose too, because God is always going to be glorified. God is always going to be praised. God is always going to be lifted up. And God's people are always going to maintain boldness. We're always going to go about doing signs and wonders. We're always going about healing in the name of God's holy servant, Jesus Christ. We're always going about preaching this word without fear, without compromise, without leaven. We're going to say what God tells us to say. We're going to do what God calls us to do. We're going to impact this world because somebody is going to do it. And if we don't do it, somebody else will. We have a responsibility to this generation to impact this world for Jesus Christ. We are not going to let the devil do it. We're not going to let evil do it. We're not going to let bigotry do it. We're not going to let hatred do it. We're not going to let addiction do it. We're not going to let violence do it. We're not going to let apathy do it. We are going to impact this generation for Jesus Christ. We are going to see God glorified. This is our time. This is our generation. This is our responsibility. And we're going to make a difference in this world. And we're going to do it together. And so finally, you see a people of God. All together, in one accord, sharing everything. That means sharing the good and sharing the bad. Not being afraid to share our hearts with one another. Not just smiling to one another, but sometimes saying, "Would you pray for me because I'm going through a difficult time? And I feel like I can share with you. I feel like I can trust you." Like I told you, my testimony is pretty simple. I just didn't trust people. Many of us know what that is like. Go through enough difficulty, deal with enough abuse, enough hurt, enough brutality, and you begin to think of people that way. I was raised in a very difficult situation, very hard situation. I had welts on my body like tattoos. I didn't trust people. But I do now. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I trust you. I trust this body. I love you. And praise God. And we're going to do something together. Hallelujah. If you want to pray this afternoon, and you're just saying, "God, I don't want to be on the periphery. I want to be all in," as our pastor reminds us. I want to be all in. I want to be a part of this local assembly. I want to serve. I want to give. I want to be here. I want to make a difference. I want to be able to rejoice when I'm on that side of eternity saying, "When the baton was in our hand, we did something. God, draw me deeper into this family." If you want to pray that prayer, let's stand together in the house of the Lord. Balcony, main floor. You can come to the front of this auditorium and we're going to pray together. Lord Jesus, draw me deeper into this family. Help me to trust. Help me to invest myself into this community. Because this community is going places, brothers and sisters. We're going to make a difference as we have, so we will. And balcony, we'll wait for you. Main floor, you can begin to come. If you're online with us, just stand before the Lord. Ask God to help you. Today, we're going to just draw closer to Christ, draw closer to one another, and say from the depths of our soul, "I'm all in. I'm all in." God bless you as you come.
You know, it cost Pastor William today to share a little bit about his background and upbringing, the beatings that he took, and the reasons why he was driven to be isolated from people. That people were a source of pain. And I feel, if I may add to your altar call, Pastor William, there's a lot of people in this generation that have been hurt by people. And because of it, you stay on the outside and you can't really trust ever be part of something. You'll come into this church, for example, and you'll sing and enjoy it, but you just can't wait to get out the door. Just don't let people come near me. But you can never fully appreciate the experience of God in his church, which the Bible calls the body of Christ, but it's his church, it's his body on the earth, until you are willing again to trust people. And Jesus said when he stood in the temple one day that the Holy Spirit, which was upon him and is here as well, comes to heal those that have been wounded and bruised in heart, and gives us the courage again to trust, the courage to reach out and become part of something bigger than ourselves. And so I would like to add to Pastor William's altar call, because I feel the Holy Spirit wanting to do that today. There's people here, you can only go so far with people, and it leaves you on the outside not fully enjoying or understanding what it means to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Would you have the courage today to say, I'm going to choose to trust God in this? He'll have to heal me. He'll have to open that prison door in my life, and he's going to have to heal the scars that I bear, whether it's physical scars or whether it's emotional scars from abuse that you've suffered. But I'm not letting that keep me out of the fellowship in the body of Christ that God intended for me. I'm going to be part of this. Whether you're visiting from another town, that means there's some people in your community. There's a church near you that you can be part of. But I'm going to be part of what God designed his testimony to be. I'm going to be part of a people. And I'm going to trust and let myself be vulnerable again. If you need healing in your life that way, would you slip out of your seat in the balcony, annex, here in the main. Just slip out now, just unashamedly. Just come. And let's let God begin to touch and begin to heal. Do that right now. Don't hesitate. Just make your way down here. This is what God's speaking this afternoon. It's to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know the hearts of your sons and your daughters. Now, there are many here who learned how to fear before they learned how to love. Many who've learned to associate pain and rejection with people and have taught themselves not to trust, not to cry, never to be hurt again. But God, we're praying for vulnerability now. Lord, we want to be a part of this family. We want to be brothers and sisters, real family. Lord, you said, who are my mother and my brothers, my sisters? Those who do the will of my Father. Lord, we have a family, many who have known nothing but rejection from family now have a family. God, we're asking you to knit us together, make us one. Teach us to trust. Teach us to love deeper than ever. So that we have something to say to this generation, something to say even to our biological family, something to say even to people who have hurt us in the past. So that we can bring healing. We can be healed and be healing. God, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. May you lay your hand upon each one, oh Jesus. Wipe away all pain, all anguish, all fear. You taught us that perfect love casts out all fear. We choose to love. We choose to care. We choose to be ambassadors of your grace one toward another. And to this generation, Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for our pastor. Thank you for his example. Thank you for his leadership. Thank you that he's leading us into a time that we'll be able to talk about for all eternity. Time of revival, time of rejuvenation, time in which we can impact a generation. And we can talk about it around the campfire in heaven for all eternity. God, what a joy it is to be alive in this day and in this age. What a joy it is to know that we're helping somebody. We're making a difference. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we love one another. We pray for one another. We bless one another. We ask that your name be upon each other. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.